We have the gadget detective Fevzi with us. How are you? Happy New Year, sir.
Hello, Mark. Happy New Year. I'm good, thank you.
Lovely to have you on this afternoon. I hate to say it, but you can't get these biscuits. I'm afraid they're going to be for mainly for me and producer Ollie this afternoon.
Do you know what, Mark? I've had just 10 too many 10 too many chocolate truffles today.
Oh my gosh.
And I instead of breakfast.
They got to a point between Christmas and the New Year when I was doing one of the shows just after Christmas. I think it was Boxing Day or the day after. And Elizabeth, one of our nice weather presenters, came on. And she was asking me if it was acceptable to have an after 8 before 8 o'clock in the morning. And I went, well, yeah, that bit between Christmas and New Year, anything goes. But by now, you need to have parked all that, don't you? You need to have stopped having the chocolates and the leftovers.
Well, you see, what I wanted to do was, you know, go forward with my resolutions, and I knew I wouldn't be able to do that whilst there was still chocolate in the house, so I've just eaten it all in order to make a fresh start today.
That is a very good idea. Yeah, finish it all off, fresh start. Well, I was going to say I was going to make a fresh start today, but now the clotted cream cookies are looking rather too appetizing. Never mind. Anyway, did you have a good Christmas? Did you get some new gadgets for Christmas?
No one gives me gadgets for fairly understandable reasons, because I'll just say, oh, you know, 7 out of 10, thank you, try again next year. But I've got, you know, more gadgets than I know what to do with. But I had a very good Christmas. I was actually working on Christmas Day, talking about gadgets and so forth. So that's me happy.
Well, this is the thing, that actually over Christmas, it is the time of year where people will get gadgets and gizmos. And it reminds me, as I say, that's that we've given out the phone number this afternoon. Because if maybe you've got something at home that's been given to you as a gadget, as a Christmas gift this year, and you don't know what to do with it, then you're the man to maybe help. This is the extent of the excitement in our house. I had an electronic doorbell. Our house is a bit weird. So you can either approach by the front door or the back door. So this electric doorbell, it has a series of 50 possible ringtones for one door and 50 possible ringtones for the other door. Now that's clever, isn't it?
So you can tell which door they're
at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you get We Wish You a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year at the moment, you know they're at the back door. If you get Robin Hood, you know they're at the front door. So, what's wrong with that?
So, Mark, which door would I have to go to? Is it the tradesman's entrance for me?
You would definitely be Merry Christmas. Yeah, you're never going to make it to Robin Hood status. But anyway, look, if you want to give us a call, don't ring the doorbell. Pick up your phone.
Call BBC Sussex.
0800 232 1045.
BBC Sussex.
And that standard reminder for me that sound advice goes over too quickly. So if you don't get the call in now, you might not get the chance to speak to Fevzi this afternoon. Free advice for you with all your gadgets and gizmos at home. As I say, maybe you've got something new. Maybe you're thinking of upgrading. Maybe it's a phone or another piece of technology and you'd like to get something new. Perhaps somebody gave you a little bit of cash and you want to spend it wisely. Text number, by the way, if you prefer to text your question, 81333, starting your message with the word radio, or mark.carter@bbc.co.uk. What is your first gadget of the month?
Okay, so they're two very similar gadgets, and they're two gadgets. They were essentially the two favourite things I was playing with over Christmas. They're mm-hmm. both projectors, but they're now things called smart projectors. So they're both, brand is Nebula by Anker. Anker is the maker and Nebula is the brand. And one is called the Mars 2 Pro. They've all got sort of space names. So the range is called Nebula. This is called the Mars 2 Pro. And the other one's called the Capsule 2. Okay, so two smart projectors. And what I mean by smart projectors, these are projectors that display images of, you know, video and TV onto a wall or onto a screen. But the smart bit is that they've got an Android computer built into them. So the Mars 2 Pro has got Android TV 7.1. And the other one's got Android 9. And what that means is that they run the same sort of apps as you run on a standard Android smartphone. Mm-hmm. So you can have Netflix, Hulu, Twitch, Amazon Prime, YouTube, all running on apps inside it. So you don't have to feed it with anything if you don't want to. It's got Wi-Fi capability, dual band Wi-Fi, really quite good. So you can just switch it on. It runs off batteries, so they're rechargeable because Anker are known, one might argue, primarily for their sort of battery technology. So it's got batteries in it. Depending on which model you go for, it's either about 2.5-3 hours of battery life per mm-hmm. charge. And so you can plonk it down, point it at the wall, connect it to the Wi-Fi, and away you go with, you know, your YouTube or whatever else, Netflix, whatever you want to watch. You can use your smartphone as the remote control if you wish to. The Mars 2 Pro, which is the sort of bigger of the two, It can project anything up to 150-inch screen. Uh-huh. And to give you an idea, when I say it's the bigger of the two, its dimensions are 7 inches by 5.5 inches by 4.75 inches. So it's sort of cubical, but small, still fits in your hand, you know, yeah. just tiny, really. And yet it can throw a 150-inch picture onto the wall, which is pretty incredible. It's a 720p picture, so that's quite reasonable for a projector these days. And it's got decent speakers in it. It's got a pair of two 10-watt speakers built in. So you can literally just, you know, take it around your friend's house, connect to their Wi-Fi, and off you go.
Yeah.
The other one is even smaller. It's almost exactly the same dimensions as a can of fizzy pop. Okay, so
that's
about,
amazing, isn't it? What this is doing. Yeah.
So it's the same shape as well, cylindrical shape, about 3 inches across, about 6 inches tall. And it does much of the same thing. It's not as bright. So the other one was 500 lumens. This is 200. But 200 lumen is still fine if you dim the lights in a room. You won't be able to use it in a brightly lit room. But you know, most of us, if we're watching movies, I guess would dim the lights anyway. This one throws a 100-inch picture onto the wall. You can choose to install any one of more than 3,600 apps, again, because it's got Android built into it. So you can feed it with things. So it's got a USB slot, so you could plug in a USB stick with a movie on it, or you could plug in an Apple Fire TV stick into that slot, and it would do that. It's got HDMI, it's got Wi-Fi, it's got Bluetooth. So you've got all these different ways of feeding it with signals if you wish to. But it's uh-huh. quite incredible. And because of its size and its sort of personability, if you like, it's kind of quite a lovable little thing. It literally fits in a pocket. I've now developed this really bad habit, and this is probably more information than you need, Mark, but mm-hmm. I quite like to lie in bed, dim the lights, and project onto the screen by just having the projector on the bed next to me pointing upwards.
That is fairly cool, isn't it?
So that's project onto thing. The ceiling, I
yeah,
should
onto
say.
The ceiling,
project,
yeah. above it, yeah.
Yeah, just you worked that out when I said screen, didn't you? But it's bizarre, and it's kind of really nice, because if you watch films sort of in bed and you don't want to sort of crook your neck or rest your head on your, you know, on the palm of your hand with your elbow down or something like that, this is actually quite a good way of watching a film, is just flat on your back, look at the ceiling.
Now, look, okay, I'm going to sound like an old man here, because I think when you say projector, I think back to when I was growing up, and a projector was something they wheeled out in school, and yeah. they would have the big yeah. the big screen that would pull down in front of you, and the projector, you know, kind of whir up, and it would show the picture on the projector. Most people then, if they're using a projector like the one you're talking about now, they wouldn't have any special screen at all to watch it on. They could simply watch on their living room wall if the wall's flat and got, you know, a nice flowery pattern on it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't need to have a screen. Obviously, it's better with a screen and better without a pattern on the wall, but it does work. And the fact is, you know, you can go down to a 30-inch display throw. You know, it auto-focuses. It's also got something called keystone correction, you know, so if it's at an angle where the top of the picture would be narrower than the bottom, say, it actually corrects for that automatically. So you literally can, you know, stick it on the table and off you go. And because it's all battery powered, I mean, you could do this if you just the uses sort of spring to mind. If you were camping, you could project onto the inside of the tent from with this. You've got battery power. You can connect to Wi-Fi from your smartphone and do that.
See, that is pretty incredible, because I was going to ask you, you know, what is
nothing like the great outdoors, is there? Just take your own projector with you.
Yeah, and stay in the tent. but actually, you make a really good point there, because I was going to say, you know, if you've invested in the last few years on, say, a really big widescreen telly, and a super duper widescreen telly, you spent several hundred pounds on it, why do you need one of these? I guess you've just answered partly why you might choose to have one of these instead.
Yeah, and this would be good for, you know, a bedroom or another room in the house. So maybe you've got the super duper TV in one area, but this is a really nice way of watching videos and chilling out, and the flexibility of just being able to project it onto a wall anywhere. You know, the first thing I did, I went around the house and just start projecting on various walls just to see what it looked like. And yeah. then I discovered the ceilings, and then, you know, the sky was the limit, quite literally.
Wow.
So I've been very impressed by these. The sound quality is good on them. The bigger one, the Mars 2 Pro, has got two 10-watt speakers. Even the small one's got an 8-watt speaker, which is, frankly, it's ample for a sort of personal device like this. And something of that size, the size of a can of pop, to be able to project a 100-inch diagonal image, it is incredible. They're not cheap devices, I have to tell you, because they've got the computer built in and all the other tech. So the Mars 2 Pro is just under £490, and the other one is just under £500. So not cheap, but not out of line with what you pay for a good quality projector, and it's got the Android built into it, which, and I think that's really important because, for example, you might say, "Oh yeah, but why do I need Android? I can just, cast it from my smartphone or my tablet," and you can, and this does that. But a lot of material that is copyrighted, so if you try and cast it from your phone, it won't work because the copyright protection will stop it working. Whereas if you've got the Android built into the projector, then it works because you're not having to project it. All it's doing is displaying it for you on the wall instead of having to cast. So it's got those. I've given them both 4 stars out of 5. What you really have to decide is, do you need the 500 lumens power of the Mars 2, or do you prefer the ultra portability of having... I think the one that's the size of a Coke can, can of fizzy pop.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that's the size of that, it's just so noteworthy because when you put that on a table, people just say, "What's that?" And then it draws a lot of interest, and then people watch and they are genuinely impressed by it. There isn't anything else quite like that.
And just lastly, before we pause on this, it is, as you say, quite a significant outlay of cash if you want to buy one of these. If you invest in one of these now, if you really like the idea of having one of these and you invest in it now, is it the sort of technology that's becoming outdated quickly? Or do you think you'd have this for a good couple of years or so before you even needed to think, I'm going to have to change again?
So both of these are either second or third generation products from Anker. So they're fairly mature. That's not to say that they won't improve, but I think... that you've got most of it, in there. It will improve, but I'd feel safe in spending money on one of these personally. I mean, they're both quite new models as well, so they're not about to be replaced as far as I know and as far as common sense would dictate. What I would say to you, however, is it's worth buying this from a retailer that has a generous returns policy. So let's say... you go to the one named after a South American river and you buy it from there, then you get 30 days to send it back for any reason. And that's important because not just because, in case it's faulty, should not be faulty, but in case, you don't like it, you don't take to it, it doesn't work well in your lighting and, all of that sort of thing. And that's the thing to do, because even if you go into a shop and try it, it's in their lighting, it's there with their material. There's nothing like trying it in your own home. But our legal rights, we don't have the same legal protection as we used to in this country. They've been watered down somewhat. So now when you return an item, it has to be in saleable condition unless it's faulty. And some retailers interpret saleable as being without the seals broken, which means you can't have tried. So, but if you go to one of the better retailers who give you a better returns policy than the legal minimum, then that's the place to buy one of those. And there are many with good returns policies.
Excellent stuff. 228, Fevzi is here. He is our gadget detective. Jack was asking how much are those projectors. We said about £500 to get one of those kind of top range products that you've been talking about this afternoon. I guess there must be other projectors out there that will be costing significantly less if you want.
There will. And one of the main two differences you get is in the brightness of the lamp, and therefore not only the size of the screen, but the quality of the picture. Some of them can be a bit washed out, mm-hmm. and you have to then watch them in virtual darkness in the room for it to look reasonable, and the screen size varies with that. And the other thing is that the cheaper ones tend not to have a computer built into them, so they're dumb devices as opposed to smart devices, which means you have to feed them externally, which is less convenient, less flexible, but doable. But what I would say is projector choices are very much a personal decision, much more so than say buying a TV set. And therefore, it is important, if you can get a demo in a shop, great. But as I say, in my view, the best way is to, do your research, buy the one that you think is good, but just make sure you can return it. And if you time it right, you could get return and a refund if necessary, even before the money's had to leave your credit card. So I wouldn't buy it on a credit card because you get additional protection if you do that for any purchase over £100. But just to say, the Mars 2 Pro, the Nebula Mars 2 Pro, The normal list price on it is £570, and I'm seeing it's got an £80 off voucher today at the moment, mm-hmm. and the other one is currently at full price, which is $499. So do keep an eye out, because sometimes there's other deals on these things, and you can check if it's a good price. There's a website called camelcamelcamel.com, mm-hmm. and what that enables you to do is when you're looking at an item on, say, Amazon, and I think it does work primarily with Amazon, you can actually see the history of the... All you do is cut and paste the link to the particular product you're interested in, paste it into that website, the camelcamelcamel.com website, and it will show you a graph of how the price on that item has varied on Amazon over you know, whatever period of time it's been sold for. So when they say it's a special offer, you can see if that's genuinely a good deal or whether they just hoiked the price up just before reducing it again, which does happen, unfortunately. So that would be my suggestion. But just be aware that, you know, with projectors, you tend to get what you pay for. But these ones are sort of uniquely innovative, in my view. And if you value those features, then I think it's money well spent. But it's not nothing.
Okay. Our newspaper guest in the last hour touched on the devastating bushfires over in Australia. And there are some scams to be aware of.
Yeah, so this is really sad because, you know, in addition to the charities that are, you know, and the aid organisations that are working in the region trying to help people who've been devastated by these bushfires, which seem to be unending at the moment, there are scammers who've very quickly taken to the internet to try and trick people out of their money. And what they've done is they've used these sort of funding websites to claim to be family members of people who've lost their lives. So they've used photos of real people who've lost their lives. They've used the names of real relatives of those people. And people have donated thousands of pounds to them from across the world, only to find out that in some cases that these are fraudulent. They're nothing to do. Although the pictures are genuine and the names are genuine, the people were not aware of it. And they didn't become aware of it until people started contacting the relative and saying, you know, I've donated money to your FundMe page, you know, and then she knew nothing about it and it was stopped. And even though it was stopped, some people, well, obviously none of the money made it to those families, but also some people couldn't get their money back from PayPal. The money had gone. So they have stopped them, but some of the money was already with the miscreants. So I guess the advice for this is, unless you personally know the person who's opened one of those pages, which if it's an Australian crisis, you know, it's less likely, and you're able to telephone that person and say, is this your page? Then don't do that. Similarly, don't do it for people who are asking for money off Facebook. And it's sad because most of the people asking for money from social media are genuine. Yeah. But if you want to be sure, then you give to a registered charity and you do your research and you find out how, you know, legitimate news outlets are actually inviting us to make donations. And, you know, making donations is clearly a good thing, but you don't want your money wasted. And the more that these people succeed, the more of them there will be, the more lucrative it will be and the more attractive it becomes. And it saddens me, Mark, to be honest, because, you know, there's such suffering and these leeches make money on the back of other people's suffering. It's disgraceful.
Absolutely hideous. All right, we've got a minute left. I'm going to ask you one question cheekily. I'm going to ask you a question. My wife tried to take some nice pictures when we were down in the West Country of all the Christmas lights. So we went to a lovely fishing village and they had all their Christmas lights on. And she came back and she said, oh, they're a bit blurry, as often is the way. So she's using like an iPhone, a half-decent iPhone or whatever. And then she started looking around on the internet. And for about £15, she came up with, I don't know if you've come across this, there's a gadget you can put over your phone that allegedly gives you a better quality picture. Is it worth the £15 investment?
Okay, so there are many gadgets that claim to do that and they work in different ways. Some of them are sort of clip-on lenses. And
yeah, that was it.
No,
yeah.
I don't think there's much that you could buy for £15 other than a mini tripod. If you get a mini tripod with an attachment that can grab a phone. So if you're taking a picture of, you know, lights across a harbour or something like that at a distance, the flash from the phone or indeed any camera is not going to reach it. So you have to make sure the flash is off.
Yeah.
And then obviously it will extend the exposure time. And in order to then not get a blurred picture, what you then have to do is make sure that the camera is not moving. The best way to do that is a mini tripod. So if you want to spend £15, Manfrotto do one that's very good. They normally do sort of pro-level tripods, but they do these tiny little ones that you can attach a smartphone to. It's a tabletop thing. And it's really great, and that's a really good way of improving the quality of your pictures, is to use a mini tripod, and there are other brands that will do a similarly good job.
Very good. I think we did, when we got back, have a discussion on who'd taken the better picture, and I think that was our first marital argument of 2020, which was lovely. Happy New Year to you, Febzy. Always a great pleasure to have you on. And if people want to find you, it's very easy. You're on Twitter, and you search for Gadget Detective.
Yeah, at Gadget Detective. Come say hello. If you've got a question about, you know, existing tech or something to buy, then I'll do my best to help.
Good stuff. See you next time.